How did we doubt the evening sun?
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man.
That song about a dirt man was a viral smash for content creator and solo artist Carter Vale. During his time as a producer in Nashville, he'd put out humorous music videos while trying to launch his other career.
I mean, I've been putting out music pretty much to silence for the last 6 years. Actually, more than that now, almost 10 years now. And you'd kind of just get used to putting something out and no one responds.
But that breakthrough with his creative yet humorous side has drawn attention to what he calls his serious music. Carter Vale joins me to talk about his new album, 100 Cowboys, and having the confidence to let it all hang out.
People talk about the 80-20 principle of like, oh, 20% of the stuff is like 80% of the value. I think the other 80% is 100% of the value. Like, if no one else likes it, what you are being valued for is your taste.
That's coming up. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. I like Carter's story because there's a million different ways to finding success or acknowledgement, but I do appreciate that there's a humility that comes with a guy who sort of blew up after years of working on his solo career. It's a cool conversation coming up after Radiohead on World Cafe.
No, she's gonna have Yoda. Oh no, aliens don't know karate. No karate's made on Earth. I also don't know karate, but I think that I could learn.
That is Carter Vale. He's a content creator, singing about taking on aliens in one of his ultra-popular music videos. He writes and shoots original and often hysterical creations that have netted him over a million followers. But before singing about Dirtmen or Corollas, he was an audio engineer in Nashville, just kind of getting by, and looking for a breakthrough with his indie rock career. Now, thanks to these catchy songs, he gets to shine a spotlight on what he calls his serious music. His latest album is 100 Cowboys, and Carter joins me today to talk about his life becoming a mainstay on your Discover feed, how jiu-jitsu helps his creativity, and why you should never, ever delete your posts. Our session gets underway with a live performance of Arizona. Here is Carter Vale on World Cafe.
You get sober, I'm getting harder to stand. Arizona, what did you mean when you said nobody gets their kicks for free? I'm coming out like a gunshot, gunshot. We're gonna fall eventually, so baby don't stop, do it again. If it's a saying, well then I don't understand. For you to show me your hand, you play stupid just enough to mess with my head. Arizona, tell me what you mean when you say nobody gets their kicks for free. I'm coming out like a gunshot, gunshot. We're gonna fall eventually, so baby don't stop, don't stop. Nobody gets their kicks for free. I'm coming out like a gunshot, gunshot. We're gonna fall eventually. So baby, don't stop, do it again. Nobody gets their kicks for free. I'm coming out like a gunshot, gunshot. We're gonna fall eventually. So baby, don't stop, don't stop.
It's Carter Vale with Arizona, recorded live in Philadelphia, and it's a song from his sophomore album, 100 Cowboys, which is available now. Los Angeles-based singer, songwriter, producer, and content creator is my guest today. I am Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Mr. Vale, it is a pleasure to meet. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
So before 100 Cowboys, before the viral hit Dirtman, before your video started showing up in my Instagram feed, you studied sound engineering and audio production at the University of Miami, is that correct?
Yeah. Audio engineering and some production. I thought I was gonna come out of school and be a guitar pedal manufacturer. Did it for 2 weeks, quit right away. I hated it so much.
So where does the idea to open a studio come then?
Well, I lived with the rest of my band, the band who's still with me today. And we thought, you know, we're in Nashville, everywhere is a studio, why not try our hand at it? Now that being said, we were 19. I wasn't very good at producing music at the time, and so no one really hired us. I ate like black beans for every meal for 2.5 years, which was, I mean, it was such a fun time to be doing stuff. I'm glad I'm not doing it anymore. We just were like, let's open a studio in our basement. Let's try it out. And we're still all playing together today.
When you're young, it's like the money isn't
necessary at the moment. The comfort isn't quite necessary, because as long as you're with your friends and you're making something that you love, who cares? We'll make it work. Black beans and all.
Exactly. We really felt like we were like bootstrapping it, and that was we felt like there was some honor in that. I don't know if I'd feel the same way now.
While you were doing the studio thing, when did making your own personal music, because I know that you said you'd played in bands with those guys, they were your friends, but when did you start sort of focusing on, all right, I want to make some of my own music while we're doing this thing?
Right. I have been like pretty seriously writing music since I was probably a junior or senior in high school. It had always been something that I was doing and was very passionate about. And it wasn't until, you know, a year into Nashville when my social media side of things started taking off and people started finding my serious music. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of when I thought, okay, this could be, people might like this if they hear it. And up until that point, I thought, you know, I'll make my own music for me and then record music for other people. And the deeper I get into the music industry, the more it seems like, okay, maybe the real music will work out. We're still, jury is out on that, but we're having fun.
What do you mean the jury's still out, man? This record is excellent.
Thank you.
And importantly, and I'm sure you probably feel this way from your 22 and 23 EP, and especially your 2020 album, you definitely have evolved. I mean, you can obviously hear the evolution in sound and confidence. Like this, I mean, it must have felt really good to put that record together.
It did. It really did. And I mean, I made it with my one of my roommates and a longtime collaborator, Noah Tauscher. It felt like a really good evolution of what I'd already been doing. Up until that point, I'd been pretty much making everything alone, doing all the production, all the mixing myself. And having a collaborator that I really trusted on it was a lot of fun. And it kind of opened up, I think, a new kind of writing for me. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, it's like but I'm even having this with 100 Cowboys right now. Like, I'm making a bunch of new music that I'm like, this is the stuff. This is the real good stuff. And I listen back to 100 Cowboys and I go, oh, okay, I see where I missed the mark on certain things. I have a lot of love for that record. But part of the curse and the blessing of having a discography that just stays on Spotify is, you know, I get to listen back to my early stuff and see how I've grown. And I also go, oh no, I hope someone doesn't find that first.
I think you'll be okay. I'm very proud of you for not scrubbing, because I know a lot of people scrub their musical identity when they do something new. But as we'll talk about later in the interview, you have a premise of not deleting things that I very much enjoy. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Carter Vale here on World Cafe. The latest album is 100 Cowboys. We want to play another track from it right now. From the album, here is Nashville.
When I think about Nashville, I think about where you used to live. The apartment, you only stayed there for a year. You're standing in the bookstore, flipping through a field guide, smiling at the pictures, Serengeti wildlife. You showing up on my lawn with your mother, a beta fish tank in your arms. We named it Annie, and it only lasted for a month. Isn't that how it always goes? Oh, oh, and all, I'm pacing by the phone.
That's Nashville from Carter Vale. It's from his sophomore album, 100 Cowboys, which is out now. Carter is my guest today on World Cafe. My name is Kaleo. So you were on the record as saying that you aren't necessarily a fan of sad songs, or that you don't enjoy writing them. But, you know, it is worth mentioning that 100 Cowboys is a breakup album. It doesn't take you too low, but was it a challenge, or did you appreciate the challenge of having to write stuff that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily go to right off the hat if you had nothing going on.
Yeah. It didn't really feel like a challenge because what me and Noah Tauscher were writing about was what was directly happening in my life at that point. So it felt very natural and very cathartic, the whole writing process. Now I'm not sad. And yeah. So if someone said, okay, write 100 Cowboys 2, write another like breakup record, it would be a challenge. It'd be hard. But at the time it just felt very natural. Like a great distraction from being broken up with, you know?
Yes.
I can't be that sad today. I'm writing the sad song. I survived.
I'm glad you survived. You know, you bring up, you know, your writing partner on this album, Noah. Had you, you know, living in Nashville, did you ever do songwriting workshops or, you know, meet a stranger and like, we're going to write for an hour? Did you ever mess around with that?
I did briefly. I went to a couple sync camps where you'd write music specifically for, TV and film. And I don't like it. I don't like doing that kind of stuff. The idea of, you know, going into a room with people you don't know and everyone goes, okay, what is this song about? It just doesn't feel good to me. I love writing alone. I love writing with my very close friends. Outside of that, you know, I think writing is just too personal for me to kind of make it a super social act.
That makes sense. Is it something that you allow yourself to have a process for how you do it, a routine, how you go about it?
I like to think there's not a big formula in the actual songs, but there is a formula of how I go about creating them. Mm-hmm. It's usually starting with, most of my songs start from me driving around in my car going somewhere and then coming up with a voice memo for, you know, some random idea. And then from there, I don't really go back and listen to the voice memos ever. It's just if it sticks in my head by the time I get back home and start working, I go, oh, okay, that's maybe a good idea. So the act of recording it is kind of useless. It's more of just the idea of being like, oh, this is a thing, saying it into it. I don't listen to it again. But if it sticks with me till the next day or that night, I'll start there and then kind of build out a track or take it to my friend Noah or Reed Gaines. And we go from there.
You're listening to World Cafe. We're here with Carter Vale. The latest album is called 100 Cowboys, although there's a very good chance you have seen some of his videos if you peruse social media, including this song, Dirt Man.
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man.
Okay, so kind of have to ask, what is the origin story of Carter Vale, the guy with songs on the internet?
I think I've been making the funny stuff for probably 6 years now.
Yeah.
And first it just started because I wanted to find a way to keep my production chops up. I wanted to like practice making music. And you can't always make serious music, so I'd make these kind of, you know, goofy songs. And I started putting them online and people liked them. It's mostly just to entertain myself at this point because, you know, I don't think I'm a very good judge of what's going to like perform well on social media. In fact, a lot of my favorite ones that I've made, people do not like. I've gotten messages of people being like, you really missed the mark on this one. And I'm like, okay, fair enough.
Wow.
But it makes me, I know. But if it makes me laugh, I'm like, okay, I'm doing that job well. It's working.
Putting stuff into the void, you know, no matter what your expectations of how it's going to succeed, is not easy to do. So I very much appreciate that. And I also can only imagine how you have producers and editors that you didn't even know, but they just comment on your videos and say, this is what you could have done better.
Oh, yeah. My favorite thing is when people message me and they're like, you should have said this word because that would rhyme better. And I go, I did it on purpose. I promise you. I'm saying the words I'm saying on purpose, and they think I'm just missing. It's very odd.
It's not their song.
I know.
you can't go tell everyone just write your own damn song.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's kind of the crux of it. So when you started getting this exposure and recognition for these videos on social media, you're making your own solo material. You're doing your own thing. Did you feel the urge to go, I have to, you know, I don't want to say capitalize because that seems like such a terrible word, but do you feel like you have to jump on that and go, let's see where this takes me?
There have been times when I thought, okay, this is working. Let me like really lean into it. And it feels like every time I've done that, I've been met with people kind of seeing through that and going, oh, he's turning this into this doesn't feel as earnest. And so now I try to do things that I'm passionate about and I like, because I think that lends itself best to other people finding it and loving it. So yeah, I've been like, you know, I try to keep the passion separate and be like, I make things because I love to make things. And then I release it and I try not to focus too hard on how it's being received. Of course, not always successful in that, but it's for me, it's mostly about making things that I like.
Very cool. I want to play one of your most recent creative endeavors, because it got me thinking about a topic when I first saw it. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about almond milk, but this put a huge smile on my face. I want people to check out this jingle that you did for Silk Almond Milk. Take a listen.
This is the seventh time that you've hit snooze today. But we've got something tasty to get you on your way.
Gotta get up.
Wake up to 50% more calcium in every serving.
And you're feeling plenty good.
I think he likes it.
Okay, so after, you know, seeing dozens of your videos, I can understand why the folks at Silk were stoked to work with you. Like, when something comes up like that, what was your reaction? Do you go like, you know what, this could be a really fun challenge. It seems like it would be in your wheelhouse. Or is it something like, I don't know, this could be kind of uncool if this is done the wrong way?
I think I've done a good enough job at cultivating people that are just supportive. So like when they see me doing ads, I get messages that are like, nice, go off, like do your thing. And
great.
So that's awesome. Also, like, I actually do drink almond milk. So it's nice to be supporting a product that I actually enjoy. It's a fun challenge. I mean, the whole process was really exciting to be in like a TV commercial. I think this was the first. Oh no, this is the second time I've done that specifically, and it's a really exciting thing for someone. You know, I'm not an actor, but being on TV is like fun and cool and exciting. It was, yeah, I got that and I was like, hell yeah, let's do this.
It was super cool. Well, it got me thinking about jingle writers, because I've read many a story from people who used to like work in New York in the Brill Building or something and write jingles. And it's not easy. Like some people would say it's harder to write a great 30-second song than it is a 3-minute song, because you only got two repetitions of the melody. You only got so many bars. And, you know, writing 30 to 45 seconds at a time as a songwriter, does that help you unlock anything with more traditional length songs, or is it a completely different skill set?
I think it probably helps having like a second creative outlet. Like I think of those, the serious songs and the non-serious songs, as like two pretty separate creative outlets. And being able to switch between the two, I think, is super helpful. Like if I'm stuck working on a long song, I'll be like, screw it, let's go and make something short and ridiculous. And so like having that brain switch can be great. The only downside, I think, of writing the short stuff is if I write a lot of short stuff, like if I go a couple of weeks of just doing shorter songs, the kind of buildup of like the pressure of writing a longer one, like, oh my, how do I write a second verse? I kind of forget how to make a longer song right now.
Sure.
Can be strange. And then as soon as I like break that, as soon as I get to the second verse and I write it, I'm like, oh, okay, I remember how to write real full songs.
Last question on the jingle thing. If there was a company that you wished would reach out to you because you were a fan of their product and you would love to write a jingle for them, do you have a dream like, gosh, I wish they would call me so I could get lifetime whatever and then have the chance to do this?
The company that comes to mind, not even really because I love their stuff, just because I have a song that specifically talks about them. I'd love to do something for Toyota because I have this song, Aliens Don't Know Karate, and the whole thing is about kidnapping an alien and putting him in the back of a Toyota Corolla. And so getting, yeah, hogtied in the back of a Corolla. And so I think getting a Toyota sponsorship... And also, you know what? I take back that I'm not a fan of their products. I feel like that won't get me the sponsorship. I love their products. I'm an enormous Toyota fan.
Someone who's a great predictor of what's going to happen on our show, because I was about to play Aliens Don't Know Karate. So let's listen to it.
Aliens and I could probably beat them up. If an alien came at me, no, I would not give up. That's because aliens don't know karate. No karate's made on Earth. I also don't know karate, but I think that I could learn.
Aliens have spaceships.
I got a Corolla. Hogtied aliens back of my Toyota. Oh no, aliens don't know karate. No karate's made on Earth. I also don't know karate, but I think that I could learn.
All right, so as you point out in the song, you don't know karate. But I think we're burying the lead here. You do know jiu-jitsu, and that is no joke. And I'm not just saying that because you could Gracie chokehold me into submission. But how did you get into jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it for the last 2 years. I absolutely love it. I started it because I just desperately needed a reason to get out of my house. I work from home. My studio's in a bedroom.
Sure.
So I was like, man, I got to find something to do. And jiu-jitsu was one of the things that was available. Now I train at 10th Planet headquarters. I like to think I'm a solid beginner. I think I'm athletic enough to be pretty good for where I'm at. But you know, the road in jiu-jitsu is very long. And yeah, it's been one of the most fun things I've done with my life. I think I'll be doing it for a very long time.
That's awesome. You mentioned that, you know, the short songs and the long songs tap into different parts of your brain in terms of stimulation and you know, making you feel creative. You know, I think martial arts has a little bit of creativity into it, you know, and how you approach things. Do you feel that stimulates a different part of your brain when you're doing that?
Yeah. I think the nice thing about doing jiu-jitsu and probably any other martial art, I don't do any other martial art. I don't want to be punched in the face. So jiu-jitsu is perfect for that.
Being thrown is about enough or choke is enough.
Yeah. I can deal with that. But I think the nice thing is when you are rolling with someone, you can't think about anything else. Like there's not a lot of surface thoughts that are going to be happening. Not like, oh, how am I going to fix this chorus? Or like, what if no one listens to my next song? That's not happening when you're trying not to get strangled or have your arm broken. So that's been very useful. And simultaneously, it's like, there are just really wonderful people there. I find because my job is so much of just me in a room, I can sometimes just like forget how to talk to people, and going somewhere and like having a bunch of people there is really good for me.
Carter Vale is my guest here on World Cafe. His latest studio album is called 100 Cowboys. I have one last question before we get to this this last live performance. And you said on Instagram that 80% of your posts, no one reacts or instead go, what was that? Right? And only 20% really, really hits. And you leave it all up and live for that 80% that might not necessarily connect with everyone. And I love that idea, but I would love to hear from you. Why is that 80% the most important part?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of think of it as like, people talk about the 80-20 principle of like, oh, 20% of the stuff is like 80% of the value. I think the other 80% is 100% of the value. Like if no one else likes it, what you are being valued for is your taste. Like that's the whole thing about being an artist. And my taste, where it doesn't overlap with everyone else, that's the gold. That's what I'm all about. It's like, if I'm making stuff and no one likes it, I go, okay, amazing. I'm not just caving into what I think people will want to do. I can tell I'm being honest to what I'm about because no one likes it except for me, and I still like it. So I leave it all up because I want people to know that, first off, I don't have a perfect hit ratio.
Sure.
And, you know, if it's entertaining me, that's the job. That's the whole thing.
I think you cracked the code, because once people get that validation, it's hard not to look for it as a sign of success. So how did you learn to let that slide where you know, no response was like, no, actually, that's cool?
Yeah, I think after putting out, I've been putting out music pretty much to silence for the last 6 years, maybe a little, actually more than that now, almost 10 years now. And you'd kind of just get used to putting something out and no one responds. And now I have like some kind of an audience that's being built. So, you know, people sometimes do find it and go, yes, I like this thing, which is amazing. But for most of my career, it's been people not listening to it. And so I'm just very used to that.
It must feel very good that people are acknowledging both forms of the music that you create. I mean, I ultimately, it's like, and especially if someone can get pleasure from one or the other and then find joy going the other way.
Oh my gosh, it's the best thing. When I get a message from someone that's like, oh, I found you through Dirt Man, and then I, you know, found 100 Cowboys, or I found Ready Aim Fire, and like, I love that, it's my new favorite song or something. That's the best thing, because it's showing, it's basically telling me that, yeah, this is working. People see it as one cohesive thing. I feel very grateful that anyone cares about my music.
Carter Vale is here with us on World Cafe. We're going to get into Ready, Aim, Fire. What should people know, you know, if you could set it up for someone who's hearing it for the first time, what would you tell them to listen into?
I would like to say listen to the lyrics. Lyrically, I really love that song. Also, listen to just how amazing my band is. All my friends are so good at their instruments.
Do you want to shout out everyone who's playing?
Yeah, absolutely. We got Andre Bernier on the keys. We got Reed Gaines on the bass and Garrett Frakel on the drums. And I believe this one was mixed by Chris Bowman. I'm very lucky to have a team of musicians that cover my mistakes a lot and make me sound a lot better than I am.
Let's take a listen to Ready, Aim, Fire. It is Carter Vale on World Cafe.
Looking down the barrel of your gun, sometime between your birthday and the sun, supernova. I'm getting older, you stay the same age and lose a little life in the fun. Ready, aim, fire, turn up the lights in your house tonight. Bullets flying out of your mouth.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
All her pennies, straight to the bank she would go. The sharks would hound her hands around her, but none could get her door. Jenny's fella was a slick high yeller, sent away to jail one day. He cried for bail and turned real pale when I heard Jenny say, I've got what it takes, but it breaks my heart to give it away. It's in demand, they want it every day. I've been saving it up for a long, long time to give it away. You can look in my bank book, but I'll never let you feel my bird. All the one woman, leaving safety first, safety first. If you want my money, here's my plan. I'm saving it up for a real good man. I've got what it takes, but it breaks my heart to give it away. I've got what it takes, but it breaks my heart to give it away. It's in demand, folks crying for it every day. I've been saving it up for a long, long time. To give it away would be more than a crime. Your eyes may roll, your teeth may grit, but none of this small change will you get. You can look in my bank book, but I'll never let you put your hands on my purse. Lord, I'm one woman, believing safety first. Safety first. If you want my money, here's my plan. I'm not saving it up for no snake-hip man. I've got what it takes, but it breaks my heart to give it away.
KSDP 830 AM, Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201DA 88.1 FM, King Cove.
A lot of curious eyes scrolling on their smartphone, right? So I thought I'd play a song from a guy who helped create the first polyphonic ringtone, Thomas Dolby. Here's She Blinded Me with Science on World Cafe.
Smile. out of here. Do you want it, lady? I knew it was your girl.
I feel like this is their year to break. Peach Pit, band out of Vancouver, title track from their latest album, it's called Magpie. Up next, new Barty Strange from his just released album on World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo and Barty Strange. He's had a good run with his first two albums, Live Forever, Farm to Table, and now his third album called Horror. It's out now. Check out Sober, new music from Barty Strange.
We'll be right back.
Kings of Leon with a handful of Jangle Step. Temple from 2013's Mechanical Bull. That about does it for us in the cafe. I want to thank our affiliates nationwide who make this show possible, a show we produce from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by Imaginable Futures, celebrating the hard work, commitment, and achievements of the 1 in 5 college students who are parents. More at imaginablefutures.com. And by Luminescence Foundation, dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases, and supporting land conservation initiatives.